Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndySgirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code Andy's Girls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine.
The 300th episode of Andy's Girls was recorded live at Club Cumming in New York City. Thanks to everyone who supported the event and bought tickets near and far. And a special thanks to Lisa Barlow, Carol Radswill, Margaret Josephs, Kelly Kaloran Ben-Simone, and guest co-host Evan Ross Katz. Hope you enjoy AG300.
And now for a combo as good as a 44-ounce Diet Coke Easy Ice with Lemon. Please welcome the opposite of bad weather, Sarah Galley and Evan Ross Katz.
Only 65 more episodes, and then you can listen to me every day of the year.
I'm like the gay Carrie Bradshaw. Fuck with me, and I will kill you with my Peloton.
Which feels like a mistake. Do you know how long we've been doing this show for? Math is hard. Six years, maybe?
But I'm very proud of 6 years for you.
I'm into 6 years, and I'm into one and a half more. But in the meantime, I want to introduce tonight's guest co-host. You know him as writer, fashion columnist, podcast host, author of the best-selling, just released, Into Every Generation, A Slayer Is Born, How Buffy Staked Our Hearts, and of course, the AGs know him in our community as the Doris Kearns Goodwin of Bravo. Welcome, Evan Ross Katz. Evan!
Thank you.
Now, Evan, there's a lot happening. We have some housewives coming. We have housewives calling. There's
legacy housewives, if you will.
Yeah, we do have legacy. We do have some legacy housewives. But I do kind of want to get a sense from the audience. Does everybody know about the news that broke this week about the Real Housewives of New York? Okay, so to sum up, just to summarize.
Will you sum it up for me?
I mean, I did just reread the Variety. The Variety article is so long. It is in me now.
Yeah, it is seeped,
but it's also not because I keep skimming it. But it was great. This is the nightmare of being a Bravo content creator where we're like, we need more content, give it to us. And then they give it to us and we're like, this is just too much. I'm sorry, it's like Beverly Hills. I can't read an LA Times article, just give me the Wikipedia. But anyway, so Andy announced in a piece that was released exclusively on Variety on Wednesday that they've made a decision about the future of the Real Housewives of New York after what is considered by most people, many people, some people, including myself, is one of the worst seasons to have happened, the most recent season. Was it 13?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was no place for them to go but down. So there was an announcement that essentially they're recasting the Real Housewives of New York with an entirely new cast, and then they're going to introduce a quote-unquote legacy show, which may be on Peacock, will be on Peacock, and then the original will feature all new people. And it was quite an article. There was like some sass about Jill. There was some interesting feedback about Ebony, who is a current housewife who Andy suggested might be cast on the show of only new housewives, which probably isn't a great indicator for her future on the show, but TBD. But anyway, I do want to get your thoughts on the two-state solution that is the Real Housewives of New York. Who is in favor of this concept? Well, it's quite literally happening, but just out of curiosity, who's in favor of it? Okay, and who's like not? Okay. Evan, how do you feel?
Well, just zeroing in on the Variety article for a moment, which was like a lot of width and not a ton of depth, it took a long time to get through it, and I don't know how much I discerned from the article. I guess what I need is a sense of one of these two franchises with some wheels in motion. We don't have a cast for we don't have a confirmed cast for either of these two franchises, and Andy made it clear that we're still in the casting process for the rebooted version. So I just was hoping for a little bit more of heft with the announcement, like, you know, a premiere date or cameras are up at the very least. But I did get the sense that Ramona is not coming back. So that was at least sort of a light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, I mean, things happen.
Yeah.
People change. They evolve. shows change. Who wants Ramona? This is a safe space, by the way. You can say, believe your beliefs, okay? We live in a space of discomfort here on Andy's Girls sometimes. Who wants Ramona to stay within the universe of Real Housewives? Noting this is a safe space doesn't mean you, the amount of buildup of like, it's okay to like her even though she's a terrible person. But who wants her to stay in the Bravo world? Safe space. Okay, we got two. And who is okay with her retiring?
And who's okay with something worse happening to her?
You know what? This is kind of, so you guys know we're gonna FaceTime with Marge in a little bit, and Kelly Bensimone is gonna be joining us on stage shortly, and I would love to get her thoughts. But there is somebody that I am going to attempt to call, which we did not tell you guys about, because maybe it'll happen and maybe it won't. But we're just gonna try this out, okay? Bear with us. It's someone who might have some feedback and some thoughts. I don't remember how we did this the last time. Oh, my hair is fucked up. Why didn't anybody tell me that? For the listeners at home, no one is answering.
Well, I was gonna give you a hint as to who it is, but I wouldn't want them to hear.
Oh my God, Carol Razzawell! Welcome to the.
Wait,
let me just go to the
quiet corner. Oh my God,
where
are those people? What am I doing?
Wait, so Carol, do we know what we're at a show right now? We're at Andy's Girls, the iconic and very popular Real Housewives podcast. And it's the 300th episode, so I'm joined on stage by Evan Ross Katz.
Hi, Carol.
Yes, I know Evan. I mean, we've had dinner. Hi, Evan. Wait, but I thought this was a podcast.
So it's a podcast, but we're at a live show in celebration
Holy
of it.
Shit. Oh my God, Sarah.
Wait, Carol, I told you this. I invited you to come.
It didn't compute.
That's okay. Do you want to just say a quick hi to the Andy's Girls listeners? We just wanted to get your thoughts on something quick, and then we'll let you go before your entree arrives.
I'll give you a little tip. You know where I am?
At the Regency? Where are you?
No, you're so funny.
Le Cirque?
This restaurant called Hong Dong, which is a very chic Chinese restaurant, but guess what it used to be?
Le Cirque,
where Aviva dressers through her leg.
You know what? We actually did try to get Aviva's leg here tonight, but it was unavailable.
Oh, I mean, that was epic, right? This is the first time I've been back here since the leg.
And how did the memories just come back? I mean, that was an iconic, historic moment in New York history, and you were there to watch the horror take place.
That will haunt me for the rest of my life.
Speaking of haunting, or maybe not, there was some news that came out this week straight out of Variety about the future of Housewives, and the Daily Mail did a poll asking people who they wanted to see the most return to Housewives for this new legacy show, and you won by a landslide.
About it, I have not really said like a lot of like great things about my experience on the show because I just stayed too long and it really started like affecting my mental health.
Yeah.
But and I don't want to take. I think it's amazing. I think the fans of the show are amazing and I love them. My beef was always with Bravo production, but you know the fans. I was laughing so hard that I won that in a landslide because I didn't even think people even remembered that I was on or that I like how could I ever come back? I mean, I would not, but I appreciate the fans' loyalty.
Well, I mean, the number one question is
I miss a marathon and you know how I feel about loyalty.
Yeah, and some people did not attend the marathon. And my question to you is, do you plan to attend Real Housewives Legacy? Would you be open to that if there was some tete-a-tete with Andrew or whomever, a prayer circle or something? Okay.
I mean, I don't know. No, I would consider, taking the fans' desire for me to come back, putting that aside, because I love them and I've always had great interactions and great feelings about the fans of the show.
Yeah.
But if I went back, I don't know. I would consider that sort of to be like an epic fail on my part. I would not go back. I could not have one more conversation about anything with any of them.
Well, I'm so thankful that you're talking to us now.
I don't even think it's going to be, like, I don't even get that show. But, like, you know, I think, you know, some of the older ones that were on first season, second, third, I can see it running for, like, episodes and then that's it. Because, I don't know, where are they going to go with that? It will always compete with the Roni that's on Bravo, because let's face it, the legacy show is going to be on Peacock. I know they're really, really struggling to populate Peacock with shows. So, but the point is, I pitched a show to Peacock and they didn't take it.
What was the show that you pitched? Was it
Oh my God! I've never told anyone. This is an exclusive. Me and my couple of girlfriends, four of us actually all together, bought a couple of houses in upstate New York, and we're going to renovate them. It's kind of like big, a little like City Slickers, go upstate, part that, part the drama of renovating and the drama of trying to come in on budget. And it was, I called it the House Wreckers of New York.
I love that. And what happened? They didn't buy it?
No, and I had the whole thing cast. I mean, it was a diverse cast, just like they want. One of my girlfriends is married with kids. A gorgeous former block model. Another friend of mine was a trader at J.P. Morgan. Another one was in publishing. All really interesting, fun, crazy kind of women. And it was kind of like part lifestyle, part renovation show. So like the best of Housewives meets the best of HGTV. Like flip this house. And I don't know, I thought it would be perfect for Peacock, but obviously they had bigger and better plans with Roni Legacy shows.
Well, listen, speaking of bigger and better, I would love to have you on Andy's Girls for a proper sit down the next time you're on the Upper East Side. And I do just want to thank you for taking the time to chat with us in between your courses at your iconic legacy. You are a spiritual legacy housewife, regardless of your future participation in the future of the New York series and whatnot. Carol, we love you. Thank you so much for chatting with us. Thank you. Enjoy your dinner.
Bye, Carol.
There's a lot to kind of say when it comes to this whole legacy idea. My question is, you know, there are shows that are based on and built around relationships and friendships, like Vanderpump Rules, which was specifically about a specific group of friends. And when those friends are no longer on the show evolves or doesn't. And then there's Shaws of Sunset, which is built around a specific group of people. And then there's The Housewives, which is about an idea and a concept, and ideally, you don't necessarily know the characters. And this is my long-winded AG classic way of asking a question to you, Evan Ross Katz, which is, how does the future of New York work when we know the characters involved? Like, it's not supposed to be the characters are the star. It's ideally the show is the star. The Housewives franchise is the star. But they're removing 13 years and putting it on Peacock. Is that strategically a good move?
Are you talking about legacy or
I'm talking about reboot? OG, they had 13 years with a specific group of friends who we didn't know, who we got to know, who changed, threw legs, went to islands, did other stuff. Like, now they
went to London, grabbed the ashes.
Went to London, cried, grabbed
headphones.
The ashes with Doris, things happened. What does it mean that they are starting again and putting the people we've grown to love who have become at the core of storytelling somewhere else?
Well, I think the issue is that which we grew to love, we fell out of love with over time. But I think one of the exciting things, if you look at like the DeBroissance happening currently on Orange County, which you know, happened to mild success, I think we could say. But I think one of the opportunities that it opened up for the future is what happens when we bring back an old cast member and catch up. And so I think in the case of Jill, and I think in the case of Kelly and several others, Jules, I want Jules back, I think there's a big opportunity to sort of be like, what have you been up to in the interim and how do you reintegrate into this group? And in the case of like Kelly and Jill, for instance, they're still friends with Lou. They're still friends with some of the girls. So, you know, get them on the phone.
And you bartended at Watch What Happens this week with Marge and Luann when the day before the variety piece broke, when Andy said to Lou, hey, Lou, just out of curiosity, like, who would you like to return to Housewives? And she said, Kelly, who we'll talk to in a little bit, and Aviva and Jill. Do you think that Lou knew in that moment what was to drop the next day? How much of a surprise was this to the women who are likely most affected when it comes to like future employment?
I think it was a total surprise. I don't think many conversations have happened outside of that variety piece instigating conversations. And I think Andy made that clear in talking about, you know, he was explicit about the fact that he was doing this interview with Kate Arthur in Variety in the hope of it sort of being a call to a New York friend group to come together and potentially come on the show. And I think it was the same sort of bat signal to the former Roni ladies, which is to say, like, the door that was formerly closed may be reopened. Give us a ring if you want to do a round two or a round three in some instances. Bethany?
And pre-Miami, I think people would think of Peacock as a little bit of a demotion. And then Miami happens, and that's the show that most Bravoholics are talking about most when it comes to iconic storytelling, stakes, laughter.
Nine housewives, including Friend Of.
A great cast. Beautiful, like the logo is gorgeous.
But that's
like,
what
just,
worried
like, did
me.
Everything right.
That's what worried me about when he was saying that they're looking for five ladies for the Roni reboot. And I'm like, take the template of Miami right now. We need bodies in the room, and five is not enough. I say, take a playbook from Roni season 7, and we need 8 wives minimum. Mm-hmm. And that's not even counting Friend Of.
And do you think he's going to take that to heart? Like, how much of the numbers did he just not, did he not just throw a number out, but it's because he's talking about, like, the friend circles will be because of people with their friends, and it's all going to be about friends, and they all know each other, so don't worry. They're all going to be very close. There's going to be relationships happening. Do you think that five was just a number that he kind of threw out?
I hope. My sense is that they're going to actively be seeking five women in the hope that, you know, each of those five women bring with them, you know, a Candy Burris type of like family unit to bring onto the show. Because I think one thing that original Roni had that later season Roni lacked was sort of like the extended cinematic universe. We got into situations where we were just siloed with our housewives. Thinking about Leah, for instance, it's like the sister's not going to happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And if you were Leah, who was kind of a part of a potential next generation of housewives or a reset for New York, how would you be feeling about this news? You don't care.
Yeah. I don't think about her.
Okay. And if you were a Lou, a Sonia, I mean, it's become such an industry that I would think this news is not necessarily pleasing to the ears and eyes, except that if going between a spinoff show and absolute unemployment, you would go to the spinoff show, right?
But it was really exciting. Like, did anyone else feel a certain pang when they went on Twitter last week and saw Roni trending? And it was like a reminder that, like, this is the show. Like, Atlanta and New York are the franchises at the end of the day. And because Roni has been out of season for several seasons, it was exciting just the fact that we were having conversations about New York once again, that the cynicism within me can go away very quickly in favor of, like, listen, if they're down to retool, I'm down to revisit. Like, I'm optimistic that this new era will bring something positive about.
And speaking of positive, I have heard a lot of good reactions, feedback to New Jersey, which seems to be having a pretty good season, but I do want to get your thoughts.
I think it's a slow season. I think it's slow. I think we need new blood. I think that, it's nice to have a returning cast. I think that's a good signal in essence, but mm-hmm. I think that it's missing that critical seventh person. And I apologize that I don't know her name, the new friend of who didn't quite click into
Tracy.
Tracy.
Oh my God, I forgot she was a person. What about Margaret? Oh, Tiki Barbara. Yeah, Tiki's
yeah,
great.
There's a bit of a Barbara Kavovit situation happening with her where Jesus. It's just like we're not quite getting it together. And to be honest with you, and I know this is not going to be a popular opinion, I just am not getting what I need from Dolores.
What? Wait a second. I thought you were about to like
I don't
shoot
understand.
This shit on Teresa, which it was a ride I was willing to take.
I'm not paying attention to Teresa.
All right,
no,
well,
but with
go.
Dolores, I'm just kind of like, what is the deal with this ex-boyfriend person who's there? He's like, on the one end, we get the impression he's a good guy. It seems
do
like
we,
the family.
We
well, it seems like the family loves him. He's at the hospital when the mom's sick. I mean, like.
And her mom is sick and he refuses to get in touch with her as a supporter partner of hers for 5 years or whatever, or a medical doctor. He won't go through the picking up the phone and sucking it up, but he will continue relationships with people who he probably shouldn't have from a boundary breakup perspective. Yeah, but he's a great guy. I mean, he's there.
But
he's
from
like helping.
From
he's
a story editing a perspective, if a husband or boyfriend or what have you is not willing to film, we kind of dead end
yeah.
really quickly.
Yeah.
And so I feel like with Dolores, we're just kind of spinning. I'm all for Frankie on camera, but even that's been a little withheld this season.
I mean, I have to say, number one, I did try to get Chris Manzo here tonight. And his mother's publicist did not respond. I am obsessed with him. I don't know, New Jersey is so tough because the families are so important. Like, I know everybody loves, like, little Frankie, but I love Frank Sr. Like, I think that there's, like, you know, the storytelling obviously should be focused on the women, but there is a dynamic around family, the family, when it comes to Teresa and friendships, and also actual family, that I think is, you know, pretty interesting to watch when everyone is willing to participate, which I guess shows why David sucks, because he wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't participate in even through his love. Shouldn't your love of Dolores almost necessitate being able to suck it up in film? I don't know.
One would think. And then Melissa Gorga. I'm just wondering, like, are there Melissa Gorga, like, stans in the audience?
I know people who are stans of Melissa Gorga. I know people. Yes, yes.
Okay,
not me, but like I know of people.
I guess I'm just wondering like what we're here to do plot wise, and I don't know if anyone. I think this was clocked by someone. The salad that she made for her husband and her kids the other day. That was, and we've seen some sad salads on Housewives. That was among the sads. And then the funniest part was she kept tossing it, but there was nothing to be tossed because it was just lettuce. I don't even think it was dressed. I think it was just lettuce.
Okay.
And even the little Joey was like, I'm going to do this inside because I need to actually go make a salad to put in this salad.
But she actually is the one, like, no shade to Tree, but, like, she's the one who actually prepares food. Like, the whole thing with Teresa was that she didn't necessarily cook it.
Right.
Like, Melissa, I think, actually had to prepare food.
It didn't show.
Wow. Well, there is someone I want to get on the horn if you guys are interested in talking a little bit to Margaret Josephs, if that's okay. And I have some questions for her. I have some questions for her.
She's also at Le Cirque.
She's also, she literally is at a restaurant. She said she was stopping outside.
She's at, what's the one in New Jersey? Is it Rails?
Yeah.
Rails.
Everybody goes to Rails. Is this weird that, where'd you go? Margaret Josephs!
I wish I was there. I'm dialing in from Ocala, Florida.
Are you throwing somebody's husband in the pool over there in Florida? What are you doing?
No, I'm with Marge Sr.'s first boyfriend ever, who was like my stepmom. Is that hysterical? And I'm in a cute restaurant. I'm with my adorable waiter right now. Is that hysterical?
It is. It actually is. That's iconic.
I'm so crowded there. Everyone looks amazing.
Everyone does look amazing. We're here for Andy's Girls 300th episode, and my guest co-host was the bartender on your episode of Watch What Happens this week, Evan Ross Katz, who you can
hi,
maybe
Margie.
See.
Evan Ross Katz and his fabulous boyfriend Billy was there, too.
Oh, and Billy's here now. Billy just waved to you, which you can't see because you're on an iPhone in an event space, but in Florida.
More professional for you guys. I am so sorry, but you know, family duty called. I'm literally sitting outside. You probably hear traffic here.
It's actually, well, first off, the AGs are absolutely used to a variety of interesting audio through the last 300 episodes, but no, you sound great. I do have a couple questions for you, if that's okay.
Of course.
So Andy talked a little bit on, I think, Watch What Happens about security being present. Yep. Like, he made a point to talk about security being present at the reunion. Can you give us a little insight into why that would be necessary?
You guys did see in the trailer, Teresa's cleared an entire table on top of me. So, and I don't think she's still too happy with me right now. And things you see are coming out on social media and everything. Things are getting very heated again. So maybe he's a little concerned that, you know, tempers could flare and everything. I'm sure it'll be fine, but just in case.
He did say on Potomac that violence will not be tolerated, so I'm sure he'll say that at the beginning of New Jersey as well, right?
I hope there's not going to be any violence, but just in case, I'm going to wear my hair.
Just in case you're going to wear your what?
Hair short that day.
Okay, perfect. Okay, I think that's smart.
No, okay.
You know what? I actually did have a question for you about hair. In the sense that, you know, in the conversation and the plot, the conflict that's happening right now about Teresa being involved in potentially trying to get more fact-based information about Evan's alleged stuff. What do you think is potentially worse when it comes to stirring things up behind the scenes to produce a moment on camera? Do you think looking for receipts on Evan is worse, or cheerleading Danielle Staub to sort of hit you?
Looking up receipts on Evan, because the cheerleading Danielle was in the moment. That wasn't like, you know, really much before it happened. Danielle was like that second. They implied it weeks before. And, you know, her and Jackie had made up already.
Yeah.
But after the fact, right before reunion, they were calling Serena, my girlfriend Serena, and Tenafly. I think that was a little, there's no reason to make a rumor true. Nobody's come out of the woodwork. It hasn't happened. That was really, you know, heard out of the blue. I don't know if she heard, you know, people say crazy shit all the time, right? But it was a rumor. She still can't understand how her breath, and like I said,
you know what? We're having a little bit of audio issues hearing you. So we might keep... No, that's okay. We might keep this a little short, which is just my way of getting you to come on a full episode of AG, which I'd love to do.
Full episode.
Okay, let's do that. Guys, can you cheer on Margaret Joseph? Thank you so much, Marge. We love you.
Love you, Margie.
Okay, Margaret Joseph, so sweet. Did anybody understand her audio, though? What she was? Oh, you did? Oh, well, maybe I'll call her back. Sorry, I was like, I don't totally hear it.
She's with the waiter.
She's what?
She's with the waiter, so.
She is with the waiter.
She's preoccupied.
Thanks for having. It's a Saturday night. People are dining at various restaurants across America. So listen, I want to, you know, chat a little bit. It is a little bit of a parade of housewives this evening, which is pretty exciting, and we may actually have a housewife in the audience. Is Kelly Caloran Ben-Simone here? Kelly, can we call you to the stage? We want to chat with you.
Oh my God.
Come on up, Kelly. I could have done a whole, like, I'm here, you're over here. What a missed opportunity. We're gonna grab another chair. There is a third chair. Does anybody see the third chair? Hi, Kelly. Thanks so much for joining us.
How are you?
Evan is going to grab the chair that's right there.
Yes,
and we're going to have you're going to sit right here and join us. We're going to chat. It's going to be so much fun.
Hi, guys.
I'm going to take that mic, Kelly.
So if my dress falls down, you have to tell me.
I mean, we'll save that for Patreon. We have a subscriber service. That'd be great. Kelly, thank you so. You look gorgeous. First off, my God, a supermodel—a quite literal supermodel—is with us, which is great. How are you? I mean, in the flesh. How are you? How's it going?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
We're so excited.
Royalty.
I mean, literal royalty. We're so excited to chat with you. I have to ask, have you, what's your experience been interacting with the Bravo community during your time on New York versus beyond? Have you noticed sort of a difference in the conversations that take place? Or are you kind of like, oh my God, this is fun. We get to like chat and talk about the thing that I was on and it's an exciting adventure?
I mean, at the end of the day, we're women and we have a lot in common. You know, we have kids, family, friends.
Got that. Yes, I do.
Boyfriends, husbands, whatever. Extended boyfriends, more husbands, divorce. You know, we just have a lot of things in common to talk about. And so I think that that's something that's a great commonality and just so much fun to be able to, like, listen, women don't support women. I don't know whoever, this whole idea of women supporting women is completely wrong. They hate each other. They absolutely hate each other. So I think what's great about being on a show like Housewives is that you're like, you hate me, but you know what? I really need your advice. And it's like...
I mean, that's true. And I have to ask, I feel like that's a pretty good lead into which housewives you've stayed in touch with since your time on the show.
Well, I just saw Luann last week, so I hope you guys love Luann.
We absolutely do.
Big Lou, we love her. Love her. So I just saw her last week. Supporting her frosé. She's so great. And
she loves that frosé.
It's great.
Have you tried it?
No, it tastes really good.
Okay.
It does taste really good.
She talked a lot about the special natural...
The botanicals.
Botanicals.
Yeah. And you know, for someone, like, listen, like, I don't always drink. And so, like, when I go out to, like, dinner and stuff like that, I don't always drink. I mean, I do. Like, if we were all together...
Well,
with you guys.
We technically are. We can make that happen.
We can make that happen tonight.
Okay, great.
But for, you know, I have rules. Like, I have, like, Ben Simone rules. So when I tell my girls that when we go out, if you go to a party or if you go to a cocktail, like, people aren't inviting you to have you drink and, like, have food all over your mouth. They want you to engage and because they haven't seen you in a long time, especially, like, post-COVID, you know, everyone wants to see each other. The last thing they want to see is, like, some green piece.
That's true.
And also, like...
We spent a lot of time talking about salad, honestly, just a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
We talked about the importance of lettuce.
You don't want it.
Yeah, we've met before.
We have, many times.
Yes. Hi. So anyway, I just have these rules about, you know, what to do when you're socializing. And so it's kind of fun being with Luann and, you know, also just, like, not necessarily always, you know, drinking when you go out. Because sometimes if you do drink, you might say things to something you don't want. Like, if you're going to, like, a party for your boss or something, all of a sudden you're like, you know, having some Pinot Grigios and you're just like, oh my gosh, like I said the wrong thing. So I kind of just try to keep like work in that bucket and then play in that bucket.
And speaking of work, you know,
absolutely
great points.
Yeah,
great points.
Like 10.
You guys are gonna
be
like, Ben Simone rules.
Hashtag Ben Simone rules. That's gonna be the hashtag on the gram. Yeah, I mean, I would be into it.
I'm strict. She's not.
Well, valid. Very true. You know, question for you. Lou mentioned you on Watch What Happens when Andy asked her which housewives he wanted to know, you know, who she'd like to come back to the show. What was your reaction to that?
I just thought that was so nice.
It was so nice, right?
Right? I mean, it's just like so sweet to be thought of and that people, it's like when you're on a show like that, you're like in this bubble, you guys. And so it's not like you're like hanging out with you guys and like this big response and like, oh my gosh, you're like filming all the time. You have no idea like, you know, if people really like what you're doing or not. The producers aren't exactly forthcoming because why would they tell you if you're doing great? Because they don't want to do that. They want you to just to, you know, keep going and let the, you know, cards fall where they will. And so, you know, it's just really fun to like be around like a group of everybody like that just understands and has fun for, you know, the brand. And like we do work really hard and we love what we do. And, you know, there's been some great moments like I'm up here, you're not there. We're not friends.
Can you say that into the microphone so I can use it as my ringtone?
I'm up here, and you're down there.
Iconic.
And we're not friends.
Iconic. An iconic moment.
But don't you just kind of feel like that when you're with someone and they're just like, their bad behavior is just trying to drive you bananas? You're just like, I am so up here with what you're talking about. I can't. Doesn't that? It's not a social thing. You know, I mean, no person in their right mind would be like, I'm socially here and you're socially, I mean, that's just like, this is, what is this, the 50s? Like, this is like 2022. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, how many times you've been with someone, you're just like, are you for real? And it was just so, I couldn't stop myself. I was just like, oh my God, here it goes.
Do you ever rewatch those moments? Like, what's
never.
No. So you haven't watched?
My kids do, and all their friends do.
I mean, we were chatting before the show, and Evan was talking about how Morocco for him is, in fact, such an influential historic moment in culture, potentially more so when you think about it. We're here to say this is a safe space, okay? We're here to talk about discomfort, that he actually thinks it's more impactful than Scary Island.
I do.
Wait, tell me.
Well, I feel like...
Oh, my God, insight, love.
Alex coming down the stairs, yeah. And your reaction...
Blotchy.
Oh my God, and then you putting the shawl back on her because her shoulders are exposed. I think that whole vacation, I think Scary Island has a climax, but it doesn't hold as much water as all of Morocco.
Right.
So I want to know, of what we didn't see in Morocco.
Mm.
Morocco was great, but Morocco was like frightening. I mean, these women they were like so on fire. I was like, well, first of all, you have to cover your shoulders. So everyone was like trying to wear, be really sexy. I'm like, we're in Morocco.
Mm.
You told them, yeah.
So
yeah,
can you please cover yourselves
yep.
up?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, so just trying to like, I'm always, listen, at the end of the day, like I know this sounds really weird, but I am a really genuine person. And like the last thing I want to do is like to have one of my friends or someone that I'm working with to be put in a situation that's like uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like Moroccan men don't like to see women exposed, period. Mm-hmm. So I just was trying to be mindful of like, culture and my friends. So even if it's not cool for TV, I'm still going to protect my friends.
Well, I just have to say, you telling Alex to re-enter is among my top five favorite Housewife moments of all time. And I constantly tell people to re-enter.
I love that.
It's so good.
Wait, I need to bring that back.
You do. You
Josh,
do.
Josh, I'm bringing that back.
Merch.
We're starting to re-enter. Yeah, re-enter. So with Alex, I love her. And I think she's really, really sweet. But you know, she is, you guys, she's so sweet. But you know, it's like, she would just get so like, she would be on the phone with her husband.
Right.
And I'm like, you guys, stop talking. Can't you have fun? What are you doing?
We want to talk about the importance of relationships and marriage, but not with our actual husband.
But he's not a coach.
He's not a coach.
He was pretending like he was her coach. And I was like, don't let your husband coach you, just have fun. And then he wanted to be in scenes with me. I'm like, okay, I've already taken you shopping. We already did that, okay? So like, it was one and done. Like, we're done. But he always wanted to always be in scenes with me.
And how would that conversation take place? Would he be like, hey, Kelly, I'd love to film with you again? Or would it be a producer saying, hey, Simon keeps talking about you and he won't let it go, let's...
If we were here, he would like literally come up from out of nowhere and he'd be like, I want to have a scene with you. I'm like, I'm on a podcast. This is weird. Like,
yeah, I mean, that is a fascinating, memory.
It's fun though, they're fun.
Do you look back on your time on Housewives, do you feel like, when you think about your time, because there's obviously a lot that took place during it and after, how do you feel about it? Do you feel like it was a positive experience? Are you able to look, has enough time gone by that maybe even regardless of what happened on screen, you feel a little bit closer to the like, wow, this was like an interesting memory in my life, regardless of how much conflict was happening.
I mean, I had a great time filming Housewives.
Oh, great.
Like, I had a blast filming Housewives. I mean, there were a couple scenes where I was kind of like, shit's getting real and this is weird.
Mm.
But I had a great time. I mean, think about it. I've written 7 books. I just sold $110 million of real estate last year.
Yeah, Kelly is, I mean, million-dollar listing New York. Frederick left, and I feel like the spot is yours. You are killing it. Would you go on another Bravo show? Would you go on Million Dollar Listing, sincerely?
So I was on Million Dollar Listing with Freddie. We filmed a couple of scenes. It was so much fun. He's amazing.
Was that during his spinoff time with Bethany or after?
That was after.
Okay, got it.
So we filmed this. We were on this year. We were on Josh in like March. This is Josh Tepper, my assistant.
Josh Tepper. Thanks for coming.
We love Josh.
It was March 2021.
It was March 2021.
That's a good assistant.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, so that was super fun. And then I'm on Selling the Hamptons. So that was incredible. Showed off one of the most beautiful homes in the Hamptons. We had a really good time doing that. And, you know, I love real estate. I mean, you have to remember, I started a magazine called Elle Accessories.
Right.
I wasn't a writer for the magazine. I actually started it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's paper. here are the images.
We love a small business owner, 100%.
Yeah, small business owner for L Accessories. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, super small, tiny.
Tiny.
Micro. This big. So, I mean, I understand aesthetics. You know, you guys all understand aesthetics. You know, you guys have the best taste of anyone. So please give me all of your advice.
For being here. They have the best taste for being here.
Because, yeah, they're over the top.
Absolutely, 100%.
I mean, we're at Club Coming.
We are at Club Coming. We are quite literally at Club Coming.
I am just
curious. That was awkward, though. I'm not going to lie, but that was kind of awkward. Like, writing, people were like, where are you going? I'm like, Club Coming. They're like, oh. I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh. I'm like, oh.
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 I love it. No,
I am curious though, being that you are this real estate maven, $100 million in sales this year alone.
Mm-hmm.
My God. Ramona Singer, another former Real Housewife of New York, is also in the real estate business these days. And you two were somewhat of adversaries, one could say, during your time on the show.
Right.
How do you look at her rise among the real estate ranks?
I mean, that's one thing that's great about real estate. If any of you guys want to get your license or want to talk about it, call me. I will help you. It's a great business. And you know what the thing is that there's enough for everybody. I mean, I work in New York, Florida, Hamptons, Aspen, Paris, London, Miami, Palm Beach. You don't think that there's enough room for all these other people to work in all those places as well?
Sounds like it's women supporting women.
I mean, that's weird.
And what advice would you, I mean, Ramona might be in need of a new full-time job. Like, is there any advice? No, but I'm being serious. Wait, no, but I'm quite literally being serious. She talked about her love of real estate on the show. It is very unlikely, right? Don't we think that she's returning to Housewives? What counsel would you give her about starting a career and using the value of your time on Housewives of New York to kill it in real estate? Like, how does that impact the ways that you are interacting with clients, presenting yourself, the fact that they may well have already known you more than likely before you're doing a walkthrough at a billion dollar mansion? Like, what would you tell Ramona, who very well may be on LinkedIn right now, looking at Element to get in touch with someone? I just want to know what advice you would give her, because there's a lot of value to being on Housewives. You can extend that into a variety of different industries, and as I may have mentioned, she's more than likely in need of work. So what would your conversation with her be like? What would you tell her to write under special skills, Real Housewives of New York? Is there anything that you would? I think it's a valid question. She might need a job. She's probably, maybe. It's the legacy of real estate.
She's great in sales. So she's great in sales.
Yeah, she is killing
in sales. She's very smart and she's relentless. Those are great. And again, listen, like, you know, real estate, let's be honest, like, we're having fun with this, but at the end of, I mean, I have my MBA. This is like, real estate is not a joke. It's not like you just walk in, you're like, isn't this pretty? I'm not Vanna White of real estate. I'm serious. I mean, my first, one of my first big deals was last year during the pandemic.
Wow.
150 Charles. I got 42% over ask.
So wow.
I sold 150 Charles for $42 million.
Oh my God.
January.
Can we get a round of applause?
Yeah, a round of applause for that.
Yes. So I'm saying that because it's a fact. And, you know, it's not easy. It is a fact, stop. No, but I'm saying it because, you know, people think of real estate as this, like, you know, just walk around and people are like dancing and having fun, and then they're like fighting and they're arguing, and then it's like, yay, I made money. It's just really not like that. I mean, it's a transaction business. You know, you guys are buying and selling your first home, your last home, a home that you were sharing with a loved one, a home that you had with a family. There's just a lot of emotional things that are attached to it, so it's not just the transaction part of it. It's also very emotional. So I think the only word of advice that I would give to her is to really, you know, go out there, and she's very charismatic, and that really helps a lot of buyers and sellers because they're nervous. They're like, oh my God, am I doing the right thing? Is the price right? You know, and she is very charismatic. So I think she's gonna do great. I mean, anyone is gonna do great in real estate if they work.
Yeah,
smart.
And for the purposes, I mean, with like people skills, question. What advice would you give her as far as to like how to interact with people unrelated to her current 50 friends? Like, is there anything that you would say to her of like, this is a great, you know, because again, she is probably looking for work.
I don't really know. I mean, also, I think that one of the things is, like, again, you're working with people. It's a transaction. It's it's money. You're not dealing. It's not like you're like, hey, you know, it's not some. It's not like a shirt. It's a, you know, home. So you have to really be mindful of, like, your, you know your audience.
Yeah.
And be mindful of, like, what the situation they're in.
Yeah.
Again, whether it's loss, whether it's gain. I mean, you know, that's something that, you know, escrow. I really take seriously. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Escrow. Escrow is a word.
I have a question.
Escrow.
I don't know. I haven't decided. I'm repeating it to the audience.
So there was a Daily Mail.
Escrow.
There was a Daily Mail poll that was sort of looking at people's vote for who they would want to come back on Housewives Legacy. And your former co-star from season 4, Cindy Barshop, got 0% of the poll. I know you were friendly with Cindy, and I just want to know what you think about No Love for Cindy from the Bravo fans.
I mean, I think those are also all these different sites. And so, I mean, Cindy has her following and people mm-hmm. that love her, and she has great friend group.
You
and
do
family.
Good spin. Yeah, no, she's great. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm really good at spin, aren't I?
Yeah, yeah. Hello. I
mean, that's like my forte.
100 million in sales. Hello.
Yeah, and that doesn't come from nowhere. Right.
Yeah, keep saying that. Keep saying that.
But when it comes to, you know,
Sarah.
When it comes to, like, the audience reaction to things, when people are talking about who they want to see return, I'm curious for your thoughts. Who do you want to see return?
I'm honestly shocked that they want me.
Oh,
like,
because
I
God.
Thought people didn't like me. I no. swear to God. I was like, I swear to you, I'm not being like, please be nice to me. I'm actually genuinely, I was like, Bravo always told me that people, they didn't like me. And I was like, okay, it's fine.
How do those conversations take place? Is there, like, a meeting where they're talking about your curating and they're saying this? Is that attached to this is what we're thinking for next season? We want to give you this feedback. Or is it attached to, like, we would like to see a change in some way? Why are they sharing that information with you?
I guess, too, you guys remember when I was on Housewives, it was in the Ice Age. So it was like, really the beginning of reality TV. I was mm-hmm. on 2009, 2010, 2011. 2010 was my March cover Playboy.
Oh.
Everyone remembers that.
Phenomenal.
And everyone was like, it was, that she was shot like 10 years ago. I was like, really? Because I just did it yesterday. That's weird. But okay, 10 years ago, I would never have had the balls to do that. So anyway, it was a different time. It was a totally different time. I had just gotten divorced, and then I was in a relationship that I was unhappy with. My kids were really young, and I just was like, you know what? I'm like, why not? Well, what do I have to lose? Mm. And so that was really my mindset. It wasn't like I needed to go on a show. I didn't need to do anything. I just had, you know, had a big life, and I just wanted a change. I mean, you guys have gone through that when you're like, you know, I went through this crazy divorce. I wanted a change. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, but also...
Thank you. Nothing. Thank you.
I would think though, the stress of going through a change that's somewhat private, even if it's with a public individual, and then the next change is to go on reality TV that has become and was sort of during that time created as being more conflict-based. That's a risk to take. I mean, just even emotionally.
I'm a risk taker, though. I mean, I've taken so many risks in my life, and I'm just like, you know what? Like, what do I have to lose?
And so if you were to take another risk and return back to Bravo, who would you...
Hypothetically, if you were going to go back to Bravo...
I mean, like, genuinely, because we're having the
contract
the
says
conversation
otherwise.
Is happening,
the
Kelly.
Contract. I mean, someone's coming in with a contract right now.
We have it to sign. It's attached to an apartment downtown, and yeah. It's going to be great. Who would you like to see if you are returning to Legacy, if that was something that you were interested in? You know, Lou went on Watch What Happens and mentioned you as someone that she'd like to see return, albeit potentially not knowing at that point what was to come in the news the next day. But who would you like to, you know, from a Legacy perspective, who would you like to, if you were to return to Housewives through the conduit of this new Legacy show, are there some people that you'd love to see as a part of it with you?
I mean, definitely Luann, mm-hmm. definitely Ramona, mm-hmm. Definitely Sonia, definitely mm-hmm. Jill.
Okay.
Definitely Tinsley.
You were friends before. Okay,
yeah,
great.
I've known Tinsley for a long time. When she was a publicist and I was at Elle. So I've known her forever. She's great. She's so sweet and fun.
Yeah, she's
so fun.
And she got fucked with that relationship with Scott. Do you know this whole thing?
I don't
thing?
Really know. When she went on Housewives, I was just like, I'm like, I, you know, I kind of let people do their own thing.
Do you watch The Housewives?
I don't.
You don't.
I did just watch RuPaul's Drag Race. That was amazing. Yeah.
Same thing.
Okay. Love. Iconic. Iconic.
What about you?
Wait, but you know what? I DM'd him on Instagram and he didn't respond to me. That's so rude.
RuPaul?
I know.
That's disgusting. He's kind
of a big deal. I was like, he is kind of
yeah,
a big deal.
Yeah, she's kind of a big deal.
But I was like, and you know who else did?
Who else?
Let's talk about this.
Let's.
Cody from Peloton. I started doing. I'm actually super upset. So. Sorry.
RuPaul, sorry. Cody.
No, I'm so high.
I was like, Cody, I love you. Your music is so good. I love your narrative. Wait. I love hearing about your mom.
Wait.
I DM'd him.
The
and
music? He's making music?
During the ride. What, the music that he plays while he's biking, right?
Exactly.
While
he's
biking.
Like, he plays while really biking. Good music. And I'm like, I was like, oh my God, I love your, you know, I love
okay,
your,
well,
your,
Cody, if you're listening.
Cody, message Kelly back. Take her out of the requested messages and put her in red. At least,
you're
at
up
the
here,
least put,
Cody is down here. Like, let's be clear.
That's,
okay, wait,
that's
but I do want to ask, you did not mention Dorinda in all of this. And if there's
oh,
one,
like
wait, but if there's one sort sorry, of like amalgamation I would want to see
oh,
from
yeah,
a
yeah,
legacy, it'd be scenes between the two of you.
She's great. She's great. And I actually knew her because she dated the guy that lived in my building. So, I mean, I knew her, like, when I, like, had short blonde hair and, like, was wearing turtlenecks.
Wait, John Medesian? Who was she dating? How long
she
ago?
She dated this guy that lived in my building.
John, was it in Queens? Where was it?
No, it was in where I live, in Soho.
Oh, okay, because John like lived in Queens. It was, like, the whole thing. Is that, like, she's Upper East Side, he lives in Queens.
Oh,
like
I didn't know that.
It was, like, a whole, like, May, December, but borough situation.
Yeah, I actually went to a party with him in the Hamptons. Not with him. He was at a party in the Hamptons. He was supposed to be driving me home. And he took me to, like, Hampton Bays to this party. And I'm like, dude, I have to work in the morning.
Wait a second. He drove you to a, like, secluded location?
He
why was that?
Hampton Bays. I was, like, I was in Bridgehampton. We were supposed to go to Sag Harbor. And I went all the way to Hampton Bays. And then I had to take a car. And I got home at, like, 4 in the morning. I'm like, I'm going to, like, this guy's, like.
That's a little wild. It's John. It sounds like John. It sounds very brand consistent for John to
I just have a lot of stories for you guys. I have so many stories.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Can I ask you a very random, unrelated question?
Sure.
But it's something we're talking about Andy's Girls. We're here for the 300th episode. And I recorded an ep a hot minute ago with Danny Pellegrino, who had in his apartment in LA the cover of a Us magazine something. Related to Jill from like season whatever 150 years ago. And we were talking about the season 3 reunion and the phrase systematic bullying. And he said something to me that I have thought of ever since. And I just want to ask, he said that he had read in the magazine that he had since framed and put on his wall that systematic bullying, the phrase systematic bullying came about the night before the reunion when there was some sort of strategy session with like maybe Jill's crisis comms person, whomever, about how to handle the reunion, which by the way, should be done. You people should and do talk about and strategize how they're going to encapsulate their experience and respond to messages and thoughts and drama, you know, the next day of the reunion. So that's not abnormal in any way. But my question is, did that phrase come about the night before the reunion in some conversation about it? Because it was used a lot on the show. And I was curious if it was like sort of a refrain because of some side conversation the night before.
I mean, to all transparency, the
none
night
of that
before,
happened. None
I was
of that
just
happened.
Like so obsessed with my Jill Stewart dress that I was wearing.
So there was no conversation about...
I mean, there were, I'll never forget my first reunion. I'm just like, you know, there in my Derek Lam dress. It was so hot, that nude. Remember that nude Derek Lam dress with my hair
yes.
was dark?
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. Oh. Absolutely, we do. Absolutely, we do.
It's so, all I think about. It's
yeah. so serious. Gorgeous. I'm all about the clothes, as you guys know. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and I will never forget, like, everyone was like, don't have notes? I'm like...
Oh.
Notes? For what? They're like, well, you're going to be talking about the reunion, so you have to have notes. I'm like, well, I can remember what happened. What do I need notes for?
So you never...
They write notes. They're like, the Twitter on September 21st, this is like, you have to remember too, when I was saying before, like, I was on television in the Ice Age, Twitter had just, Facebook had just taken off, Twitter hadn't even started yet. I mean, so it was like people were like, literally like, oh my God, it was like, this happened at like 4:32. I'm like, you're kidding, that's crazy. What happened at 4:34? Like, there was, it was a lot of excitement for stuff like that. And a lot of note taking, a lot of notes. Well, like long lists. I was like, whoa.
I think it was sort of...
They were very calculated about what they were going to do.
Very calculated, and it was sort of the beginning of the receipts era, which ties into a question that I have. It's something that, you know, in the history of Andy's Girls is a show all about the psychology behind The Real Housewives and shows on Bravo.
Right.
And there is a segment that we have where listeners send in their thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about housewives and episodes, and it's actually named in honor, as I say, I literally say on every episode in which a satchel is used, it's named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Killorn Ben Simone, and they are, you know, they are satchels of gold. They're really thoughts and feels from AGs, and I actually have, what better time than the 300th episode of Andy's Girls, but now to ask a satchel of gold to Her Holiness Kelly Killorn Ben Simone. It's from an AG who I think is here tonight. Her name is Sarah. She's in New York City. It's not me. I just want to make that clear.
Wait, I'm like, Sarah.
I know. It's another Sarah. She's everywhere. Me. It's a Sarah with an H. She spells it properly. Anyway, so here's a satchel I just want to get your thoughts on from Sarah, who says, if you were to participate in the legacy Real Housewives of New York with all of our old favorites, would you return more consciously strategic about your storyline? And what parts of your life and story did you not share in the past that you would want us to see now? So the idea of like the receipts and the thinking about, you know, the Simon of it all, of like wanting, you know, like thinking more consciously, not to say less organic, but more organic to the reality that has become Real Housewives of New York. Would you be thinking more strategically about that?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Okay.
What is the point of going on a show like Real Housewives if you're going to be strategic? That is disingenuous to you guys as viewers. Why would I do that? One of the reasons that you guys like me so much is because I do whatever I want to do. And I am unapologetic.
If she wants to run in front of a taxi cab in the streets of New York City, she's going to run in front of a taxi cab in the streets of New York City.
True story.
Do you still jog in front of traffic?
I do, everywhere.
It's an iconic.
I'll never forget that scene. They were like going so fast.
That's
and I was
canon.
Like, I was like, oh my God, this is like super fast, like really fast. I was like, okay.
I love that.
You know what it is though, is that for anyone that does exercise in New York City, when you walk down the street, everyone's like on their phone, there's umbrellas.
You can't do that when you're jogging in front of cars. No, you can't be on your phone.
There's like all these different things. So I like to run in the bike lane. Well, now people are like are constantly like screaming and yelling at me profanities like because I'm running in the bike lane. But like it's safe. It's a safe place for me.
It might not be for them though. I think that's why they're getting in touch.
But I'm unapologetic. I'm running. It's like 25 Kelly. Minutes. It's like, it's not, I'm, you know, I'm like on and off. It's like, they're not going to see me again. It's not, until tomorrow.
I mean, I'm so glad that we saw you tonight because this has been
God.
Wonderful.
You guys are
who better? That. Who better but Kelly Killorn Ben Simone to ring? I mean, the satchels of, I have to tell you, satchels of, it is meaningful to me to have
but
you on
stage. But you
know
what's so funny? I did not even come up with that.
Who came up with it?
That was Bethany.
What?
She said, you have satchels of gold. And I'm like, what do you mean? I don't have satchels of gold. I had never said that.
What context would we be talking about satchels of any weighted metal?
She was making
metal?
It seem like my shit doesn't stink and that I have so much money, it just comes pouring out of me and I don't care. I mean, I've been working since I'm 16 years old.
Hello.
I have 3 degrees. I mean, I'm like...
$100 million in real estate.
Hello, are you like... what?
Well, I mean, I guess thanks to Bethany for her part in history.
Yeah, I mean, that's her one. That's her line. That has nothing to do with me. There were a lot of things that she said that I would, like, we'd be in a conversation, and you'd say, like, okay, you kind of repeat. If there's something, someone says it's something unusual, you kind of repeat it. And then they made it seem, I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I never said that.
So she would repeat back to you moments that she said happened that you did not have recall of and then set the stage for a scene that's sort of expanding on that narrative.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds like strategic reality TV.
And to be honest with you, like, I don't have time to be strategic.
You don't.
I actually work for a living. Like, I have a real job. I was like, this is like supposed to be fun.
Those apartments aren't going to sell themselves.
No, at the time, you guys have to remember when I was on... True story, but when I was on Housewives, I was working for Page Six. I had a full-time job at Page Six.
I remember that.
I was like, I'm kind of busy working, so this is really fun. I'll hang out with you guys for a second, but I gotta like go back to work. And then my kids were so young.
C and Teddy. How are they doing?
So thank you for asking.
Sounds like I was getting emotional. I had something in my throat, but also emotion. Emotion was stuck in my throat. How are C and Teddy?
Oh my God. So C works for UEG. So she does all the brand partnerships for athletes. She graduated from Ole Miss. She's killing it. We're so proud
of
her.
Incredible.
She's amazing. Teddy is graduating from Trinity College this year.
Yeah.
Art history. She's doing unbelievable. They're just great. They're great.
And you have their memories of their childhood in these moments
caught
on film.
I have my own legacy show. It's called Ben Simone Life.
Oh, I mean, what was it? Ben Simone Brand?
Ben Simone Rules.
Ben Simone Rules.
Peacock.
Kelly, I just have to thank you so much again for being
guys.
Here tonight. And Evan has
some
questions.
No, I was going to say, not for nothing, you look incredible.
You look incredible.
Like, incredible.
Yeah, hot.
A great man. For those that aren't up here, great manicure, baked. Great pedicure, great jewels.
Thanks. Well, you guys are so great.
Real estate's been good.
I really appreciate you guys. I appreciate all of your comments, your questions. When you don't like things about me, it really means a lot because, like, at the end of the day, like, I want to be better. And so it's been an incredible opportunity for me, and I just want to thank you so much for being there with me.
That's a great way to process, by the way, feedback. I should work on that. That's incredible. Before you depart for the night, I do have a favor for you. Would you mind signing some jelly beans for me?
Of course.
Some bags of jelly beans. Sorry, guys.
Of course.
Just for the archive, for the Clawfest. I just have a couple bags to sign. Sorry. Thank you so much. Iconic. Iconic candy.
Oh my God.
Do you still like jelly beans?
Oh my God, who doesn't?
Right? Is that your favorite candy?
Jelly beans, Jelly Ranchers, Swedish Fish.
Swedish Fish is
a
controversial, but I'm not a chocolate person.
You know?
Yeah.
I just like if I'm on a plane or something, you know?
Why are you gonna go for chocolate? No, it's not. It's not plain friendly.
Anna Delvey, just have some
Yeah.
Yes.
By the way,
tell me.
Told me that I actually knew Anna Delvey, but I have no recollection of that. How weird is
what?
That?
This
who,
makes sense.
Who
yeah.
told you that you knew her, or whatever version of her you met?
I have a couple of friends that say I definitely met her.
What? Okay. And
I would have remembered meeting her.
Netflix?
You know,
Netflix?
Do you know why?
Because of her accent?
No.
Oh. No, genuine though. It was specific. Iconic maybe. And always changing, growing time.
I would have remembered meeting her because if I had met her, she would have been really, really nasty to rich people. Remember that scene when she's in the art and she's in the art show?
Yeah.
And she's telling the woman who's gonna buy this super expensive painting that she would never buy that because it's so ugly. That, I would have remembered that. I would have been like, oh my God, who is that person? Why are they being so rude? Because when a person's really wealthy, the last thing that they want to feel is that they don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
So that was her strategy with wealthy people.
To get power.
Like, to get power over them.
Yeah.
Because then they were like, I would have remembered that. I would have been like, ding.
Did they provide any other context of when you would have interacted with her?
I guess some art parties. Like a lot of people were saying that I met her through art parties. But I would remember that specific thing. I would have remembered.
Could Anna Delvey join the Real Housewives of New York?
I mean, she would be amazing.
She would be amazing, right? What do you think?
So?
Yeah, she's. I talk about stakes. I mean, if she's allowed to stay in the country, then
you know what? But you know what's really fascinating too is what you were talking about is the whole idea. Oh. Thank you. I can pull this myself.
No, he's good.
The whole idea of strategizing, we were just talking about that before. What would you guys rather watch? Would you rather watch, you know, women really fighting about things that are really, really happening? Or would you rather have people strategizing and people kind of being off? Sometimes I was what? Why? What's happening here? And people are she's stupid. I'm like, no. I am definitely not stupid. I just have no idea what you're talking about.
You have 3 degrees.
I was like, what are you doing? What is this? I was like, re-enter. Come on. This is oh my God. Let's start over.
So Anna, we think, could be an iconic New York housewife because she has so much real stuff going on.
She'd be so nasty to everybody, and they would be like, oh my God, how could you be nasty to me? I'm famous.
Who would win in an argument, Ramona or Anna Delvey?
Delvey, hello.
Valid point. I mean, what better note to end on than that? There we go. Kelly, thank you so much. You're the best. Thank you for coming. We're so appreciative.
So much fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I would love to have you back on the show.
Oh my God.
Appreciate you guys so much. So cute.
You.
So cute. All
right, Kelly.
All right, bye guys.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Josh. Love you, Josh.
Josh is the best. Josh is going to send me that video. Can you send me that video? Yeah. Thank you, Kelly. We're going to say goodbye to you. We're going to do a little close to this wonderful moment. We're just standing. Oh, my Kelly! Oh. Icon. Part of history.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Kelly. An iconic moment. What better way to celebrate AG300 than with the vision that is Kelly Killoran Ben-Simone?
That was iconic.
Wasn't that iconic?
Yeah, that was good.
I feel like I need to go into real estate, but I don't want to work that hard, so I feel like that wouldn't be great. Are you okay?
No, I think that she proves that you could do that.
That is true. Anything is possible if you dream.
Yeah.
On that note, we would love to open up, just take a couple questions before we close out AG300. We do have Kelly, we will call it the honorary Kelly Killoran Ben-Simone microphone stand. So if there's anybody who has a question, housewives related, we didn't talk at all about Orange County, which means you're going to have to come back on AG ASAP so that we can deep dive. But Ryan, does anybody have any questions? Come up to the mic. Or you might be using the restroom. Awkward placement. No, please, welcome to the, over. Anybody have a question? We have so many content creators in the audience. I see Dylan Hafer, Bravo by Betches, Kevin Fallon, so many iconic people. Oh my God. And it's OG of the AG, Damian Bellino. Damian!
Hi, Sarah and Evan. Great show. Great interview with Kelly Killoran Ben-Simone.
Thank you.
My question's about OC. I want to know what you think the future of Noella is.
Wow. Evan, you want to take that first?
No, but you can take that one.
The future of Noella on the show?
Yeah. Not like her life. Like, what is she? Yeah. How many seasons is Noella going to be on the show?
I mean, Noella is such an interesting character because even during episodes like this week's episode where we're talking about a pretty serious and very sad moment in her life, there is an essence there that doesn't feel quite right. And yet, maybe it is that feeling that provides her value to return another season because, okay, well, all this to say, listen, I'm not like a Noella stan, and I understand and continue to be annoyed by the fact that she seems to have taken so many characteristics of other housewives in order to create the version that she's presenting on TV. But the mid-season trailer came out. She seems to be the only one interested in fucking with Heather Dubrow, and I do think that's a role that needs to be filled. So what's wrong with her returning for a second season?
Well, I just feel like it's a little bit of a Carlton syndrome in that you need to have at least one ally amongst the cast who is genuinely friends with you and wants to film with you, and Noella hasn't managed to make an ally. Mm. I know her and Shannon have a little bit of an alliance, but that seems like more like two people out to sea just looking for a floaty. So I just don't think Noella really has managed to ingratiate herself into the cast in any way to warrant a second season.
Can I just sidebar?
Yeah.
So Shan, for whom I stand, is having, first off, it's her birthday today or yesterday, this weekend. So happy birthday to Shan, wherever you are. But what are your thoughts on the edit of Shan this season? The side of Shannon that we're kind of, for some people, new to get, which is a version of her that I have heard from others is a little bit more likable or understandable, perhaps.
Oh, you feel that way? It's more likable this season?
No, I've always liked her, so I don't have a problem with...
Oh, okay, wait. So people are feeling like she is more likable this season than in the past?
Yes.
I have not experienced that.
Really?
No, I'm serious. That's interesting to me. I don't see like a great... I just don't see a great change in her demeanor. I think her life seems to be in a better place than it was previously, but I will always miss Shannon from her first season. I just feel like the energy that Shannon brought in her first season, especially going against Heather and sort of just with the facade of the life that she created and blah, blah, blah. I feel like I will always miss that Shannon. I mourn that Shannon.
Right, but conversely, that energy was inspired by a lot of probably dark pain related to her marriage to David. So like, how far back do we need her to go in her own personal life in order to bottle that energy for next season, you know?
It's a good question. I just feel like it's a little bit, it's interesting that you have this read that she's more likable. I get a little bit of like a Dorinda season 13 from her, in that it's like with Shannon, I just feel like she stayed on the show for too long.
What?
But now look at me and I'm like, I need Dorinda on the phone immediately for Legacy. So I feel like, I think with Shannon, maybe a pause.
You think that Shannon needs a pause right now? I feel like she's breaking through.
Okay. I don't know. I just, I guess it's who are Shannon's real allies at the moment?
Well, that's the that is the ultimate crisis of Shan, is that so she doesn't
If Ultimate Girls Trip 2 ends up bringing Tamara back into the fold and we get her back and Shannon and Tamara can mend fences, then I think we can have a runway.
Which would be great, except Tamara takes every opportunity and every press, whatever, to absolutely shit on Shannon. Well, so the likely, it's like she's gunning for revenge because she's angry that she lost her job and Shannon kept hers.
If we get Tamara back in any form, I'm happy.
Well, speaking of happiness, Ryan Houlihan has a question. Ryan Houlihan.
Speaking of happiness. My question for you is, with Ultimate Girls Trip existing, Ultimate Girls Trip 2 existing, and for those of us that watch Drag Race in the parlance, this is our all-stars. What, for a legacy show, New York is going to have a legacy show on Peacock. Is there any other franchise that you think, in addition to Ultimate Girls Trip existing, could support
question.
A legacy show
That's a great question.
In perpetuity?
Evan?
Well, I think the obvious answer would be OC, just because we've had the most Housewives, but also OC is the franchise that has sort of changed its tone the most. You know, you remember back in season one how, like, family-oriented the show was,
yeah.
You know, and with the kids and the hijinks, and so I would definitely love to see, I mean, I've always wanted Gina Keough back on the show.
Yeah.
But I think just, I mean, Quinn, get her back on the phone.
Get those wigs back.
There's
get
a lot
wigs.
of early OC wives that I think would be really fun. And then, obviously, New Jersey, just to get the Manzos and the Loritas back in the fold.
Do you think that Caroline would ever... She said that she would be open to it, except they didn't offer her enough money.
I don't know, but we need her.
You do? Because of the Clash of the Titans with Tree?
I think Caroline shares a characteristic that Bethany has, which is that she's just a really great narrator, and she's really, really likable. Oh, well, excuse me. Bethany had a likable period.
And did you see that TikTok of Bethany absolutely shitting on... No, you didn't. Okay.
I'm not tuning into Bethany's TikTok.
Well, okay.
No, I don't.
She was shitting on the idea of the spinoff and being like, they can essentially go fuck themselves, but not in so many words. Right. Oh, no. On that note, does anybody have any other questions? We're going to wrap shortly, if that's okay, so we can all drink at the bar. My, no big deal, not to make this about me, but my birthday is in an hour and a half, and I would love to do shots with you guys as I turn, what is it? Spiritually mid-20s plus. Thank you so much. Guys, we're going to be wrapping up AG 300. I do want to shout out a couple people for all of their help in making this possible. Julian, Colt, Nick, and also other Nick here at Club Coming. Thank you so much for your help tonight and in the preparation for AG 300. Prisca Edwards, who's the phenomenal photographer, taking photos you guys are going to see on social. Kelly Kaloran, Ben Simone, Margaret Josephs, Carol Radziwill, Lisa Barlow for sending in audio. She has had quite a week recording and filming the show, and she made it happen, and we're so appreciative. Tangentially related, Amy Phillips for some creative counsel, who has been phenomenal. Maritza Lopez, who created the show graphics, and Evan for joining this evening. Have you bought the copies of Evan's book? Because it's getting raves across the board. Andy Cohen himself, no less than like 64 times on Watch What Happens This Week, was highly, highly encouraging people to buy it. So thank you so much for being a part of AG 300. And I do just finally, two more thank yous, and then we're going to skidood. Damian Bellino is here tonight. He co-produced tonight's festivities and is the OG of the AG, with whom this show would not exist. We started Andy's Girls together. And I just want to shout him out for all of the ways that he has supported the pod, both while we're recording and while we were just talking about stuff and whatnot. And also all of the AGs and guest co-hosts, listeners. I just want to thank all of you for listening and supporting the podcast. And, you know, live shows, it's a new kind of entity and idea, and it wouldn't happen without people who bought tickets in honor of the event, people who attended, and all of you for listening every week. I just can't thank you enough. I never thought when Damien and I were on the People's Couch in my apartment on the Upper East Side, episode one, that this would go to 2, let alone 300. So I just want to thank all of you for coming tonight and for listening to the podcast and supporting it. And I'm just so thankful. So I just wanted to say thank you. And on that note, Evan, where can people follow you on social and like buy your stuff and whatnot?
You can follow me at Evan Ross Katz.
Great. And you can follow me at Dame Galley. And guys, we're going to maybe drink. Is it not fucking working, this piece of shit? Well, thank God I'm returning it on Monday. There will be, when you listen to the episode, you're going to hear a theme song playing at the end. But in the meantime, let's go have a cocktail and begin. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you. Good night.